and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 28, 2020. 15 people are killed in Bor County of Jonglei State.
The armed men invaded Makol Shoei village at around 3 o'clock. When they start shooting randomly and set their houses on fire, we started running and the chase house, they stabbed me on my back.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Jonglei State say armed men suspected from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area killed more than 15 people in Bor County last evening. Eyewitnesses say the armed men stormed Makol Chwai village at around 5 p.m. and set the village on fire. The Jonglei State Police spokesperson says security forces have been dispatched to pursue the attackers. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
80-year-old Chuti Maker was wounded in the attack and being treated for knife wounds on her back and chest at Bor State Hospital. Speaking in Dinka, Maker says dozens of armed men in military uniforms attacked Makol Chwai Boma of Bor County.
The armed men invaded Makol Chwai village at around 3 o'clock. When they start shooting randomly and set their houses on fire, we started running and the chase house, they stabbed me on my back. I fell on the ground and they stabbed me again on my chest. I fell subconscious. The two gentlemen who were chasing me argue over whether to shoot me or not before they left me. But what surprised me is that some of them speak Morle and others speak Dinka language.
Speaking in Dinka, 27-year-old eyewitness Akura Leng, whose leg was broken during the attack, says her father-in-law was killed and her 14-month-old baby was abducted.
We heard gunshot toward the east, where we have our gardens. We were confused about what was happening. After a short while, a certain gentleman came running and told us to go away, as there was an enemy. Just as we were conversing, they arrived and started shooting at us, killing my father-in-law. I rushed to collect my baby to run, and they shot me in the legs, and the baby drops. I saw them taking my baby.
17 people were killed and 9 others sustained injuries, according to Majung Lee, the first deputy chairman of the Bor community. He also says a number of goats and sheep were stolen when armed men stormed Makol Chwai Boma.
Security-wise, these days, there are a lot of problems. And even yesterday, we have an incident at my college, where we lost about 17 people and 9 people have been brought to Bor Hospital here, State Hospital.
Deng says it is sad to see more lives lost after President Salva Kiir formed a high-level committee to address the conflict between communities in Jonglei and Pibor.
In fact, when the Vice President, Dr. James Wani, left this state, he was actually going to the other communities. After he has met with the Greater Bor communities, he was going to go to the Nuer community and he was going to go to Pibor, a demonstrative area. And we think it's better they have to speed up this consultation.
Buli Chow, the director of Bor Hospital, confirms 9 people were treated for gunshot injuries sustained in yesterday's attacks in Makol Chwai area.
Actually, there were 9 patients, 8 females and then 1 male. They are currently in the ward. One was taken for operation. This woman had a serious abdominal gunshot injury and she was taken in for operation. Which I hope the outcome will be good, because they were brought in at 4, they were attended to, and then by 7 they were all They were all resuscitated and then admitted in the surgical ward.
Jonglei State Police spokesman Major Majak Daniel Tuor says security forces and area youth are pursuing the attackers.
Yes, yesterday evening, the few police personnel who were present there, plus the youth area who were available, tried to pursue the attackers, and up to now, we have not got any specific information whether they met the attackers or, unfortunately, they returned.
Judy Jongulei Boyoris, the former speaker of the now defunct Boma State, says the attackers came from the Greater Pibor administrative area.
You're talking just about Michael Choi? Where about two or five or ten people went for attack, and thousand of people is still in our area. Why don't you want to talk about this? I mean those authorities of Bor, they should talk about this to withdraw those people back to their areas. As soon as the people is still in our area, I think the situation will get worse.
In an email response, Deborah Chine, the head of the UN Peacekeeping Mission's Fields Office in Bor, said the UN is aware of the yesterday's attack in Makolchwe and condemned the incident. She called on local authorities to hold the perpetrators accountable. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng, reporting from Bor.
Sudan's newly appointed civilian governors have vowed to improve the economy and livelihood of people in their respective states. Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok named 18 governors, including two women, last week. Some of the governors say they will provide security, pension, and dismantle all elements of Bashir's regime in their states. For VOA News, Michael Atil reports from Khartoum.
Speaking to reporters shortly after taking the oath of office in Khartoum on Monday, the country's new civilian governors say they are aware of the heavy tasks that lay before them at this crucial time. Wearing a grey blouse and a skirt with a light grey headscarf, River Nile State Governor Amna Ahmed Al-Mekki said in Arabic that women suffered the most under the previous administration, but that is about to change.
We will work to fulfill the theme of the revolution, freedom, peace, and justice. We can now say the revolution is becoming a reality. Our states have been controlled by members of the previous regime, and our oath of office is a big achievement towards addressing two things: to provide the pensioners with their pay and dismantle all elements of the previous government.
Al-Mekki called on the resistance committees to support the efforts of the transitional government to achieve the themes of the revolution. Speaking in Arabic at the same event, South Darfur State Governor Musa Mahdi Ishaq vowed to fight government corruption. He says the economy has been destroyed by the smuggling of natural resources.
We shall fight corrupt officials and corruption in all its forms, and we are optimistic that we will work and please our people. I am also confident that all of us, all the governors, shall be transparent in our duties and in the provision of services to our people. All of that will be guided by consultation with the people.
Ishaq also vowed to work with other governors in the Rift Darfur region to put an end to the intercommunal fighting in the region. North Kordofan Governor Khalid Mustafa Adam said Sudanese deserve to enjoy the fruits of their long struggle against Bashir's 30-year rule. Speaking in Arabic at the same event, Mustafa says all governors face similar challenges, including the need to pay civil servants' pensions and improve security.
My hope is that all governors will strive to achieve these demands. Our people have suffered enough, and it's time for them to catch a break and live in a peaceful environment. We shall work hard to provide them with services such as health, education, and transportation.
The Red Sea State Governor Abdallah Shangrai Ohaj also vowed to end intercommunal violence in his state. Speaking in Arabic, Shangrai said he appreciated the role media played during the revolution and vowed to protect journalists' freedom of expression.
We shall work more closely with the media and see how they are observing issues from the states. We need to hear from our people because we are tasked with serving them.
Red Sea State witnessed a series of intercommunal clashes among local communities in recent months, which has claimed the lives of dozens of people. Shangri says his government will ensure that citizens can live in peace. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
From Sudan, we move to Kenya, where Kenya's Ministry of Health says the number of mental health cases have jumped dramatically during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the country's Mental Health Task Force, 25% of the coronavirus outpatient and 40% of inpatient suffer from mental health issues such as depression. But more Kenyans are seeking help and are speaking out about it. For VOA News, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Sheila Orono is going through her sixth therapy session and her first face-to-face this year. She's meeting her counselor to get help for a mental health problem that has grown worse in recent months.
In a phase where I just wanted to be alone, I don't want to talk to anyone, I don't want to do anything. But now I've gone back to my normal self. I can do something. I can even listen to a music. Like the normal me has come back. I was heading to, but now with the therapy sessions and the need for me to come out and say that I'm suffering from bipolar, like a mental illness.
The psychiatric disability organization in Nakuru County receives at least 4 patients a day suffering from different mental health issues. Zipporah Mumbi is one of the psychologists.
And just helping them to have psychological resilience, to realize that even during this moment, during the pandemic, where there are chances of heightened depression, that it doesn't mean that it's a season that will be there forever. But then during this process, they can have what we call psychological resilience for them to be able to cope and understand that they can still bounce back.
The World Health Organization defines mental health as a well-being in which an individual realizes his or her own ability and can cope with the normal stresses of life. 34-year-old Wangui Waweru developed COVID-19-like symptoms in March. After a few days, health workers dressed in protective gear picked her up. She says even though her test for the virus turned out negative, the treatment she got from some of her neighbors and community members affected her mentally.
You can see some 1, 2, 3 people understand you and talk to you or associates with you, but there are those who are so irritated, who don't believe that you can be healed.
This month, Kenya's Task Force on Mental Health, co-chaired by Frank Njenga, found that many Kenyans suffer mental illness without knowing it.
If you look at a family with 5 people, 2 parents and 3 children, at one point or another, one of them, at one point or another in their lives, will suffer from a mental illness of one sort or another. In other words, 20% of Kenyans, whether we like it or not, will at one point or another have a mental health need.
With a pandemic taking a toll on people's mental state, the Kenyan government is urging its citizens to seek help if they need it at this trying time. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nakuru, Kenya.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the World Hepatitis Day. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting, and you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam, and you have to wait till, you know, probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that's mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that, you know, you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white collar jobs are the most earning, but in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our health segment today, we take a look at hepatitis B. Healthcare workers in sub-Saharan Africa are marking World Hepatitis Day to raise awareness about the virus which causes inflammation of the liver and kills about 300 people per day in the region. While global coverage of BAP-DOS vaccine for hepatitis B is 43%, only 6% receive it in Africa. In Cameroon, health officials have begun dispatching healthcare workers to find hepatitis B patients who are avoiding treatment and getting the vaccine for their newborns. For VOA News, Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
52-year-old farmer Valerie Mbappe says she was diagnosed with hepatitis in April, but she was reluctant to go to a doctor because her uncle told her she should be treated by a traditional healer. After going to the healer, Mbappe's abdominal pain, fatigue and fever have gotten worse.
Pour dire de vrai, je n'ai jamais trompé mon mari. Je vais dire aux gens qui sont malades d'ailleurs.
She says now that he knows that she can be treated at the hospital, her advice is that people should not be reluctant to visit health facilities for their hepatitis screening. She says she was told by the nurse that she should stop drinking and smoking heavily because it may lead to complications during her treatment. Mbappe was brought to the General Hospital in Yaoundé by members of SOS Hepatitis, a charity group that helps patients seek treatment. Spokesman for the group, Samuel Yamisi, says the efforts are part of this year's World Hepatitis Day activities, marked annually on July 28.
Les patients positifs seront pris en charge et les patients qui sont négatifs seront vaccinés.
He says their main target is the majority of patients who refuse to go to hospitals and prefer traditional treatments. Everyone who tests positive for hepatitis can get help from his group and the government, says Yamisi. He says those who test negative will be given their first dose of the hepatitis vaccine. People who take the first dose of the vaccine should come for the second dose after 3 months and the last dose after 6 months, says Yamisi, to be free of the disease. In 2019, Cameroon reported 12,000 new cases of hepatitis B, up from 9,600 in 2018. But Cameroon's Minister of Health says 13% of people are living with hepatitis B in the country of 25 million. Despite the high rate of infection, the ministry says less than 1,500 Cameroonians are receiving treatment. The Minister of Health, Dr. Simon Eyong, treats hepatitis B patients. He says to encourage patients to go to hospitals, the government reduced the cost of treatment from $250 per month to less than $50.
Since it is a slow killer disease, which symptoms only appear when it has already reached its climax, get tested, get vaccinated, keep away from unprescribed medications like anti-inflammatory, like paracetamol.
Cameroon's 360 government hospitals this year for the first time dispatched health workers to track patients and ensure they get their treatments and vaccines. The Health Ministry's Dr. Abdullahi Sajo says the government also targets best dose hepatitis vaccines for newborns. He spoke via telephone from the northern town of Garoua.
Les nouveau-nés, les femmes enceintes et tous les adultes dépistés et positifs.
Sajo says the government has given firm instructions that all newborn babies, all mothers, and all pregnant women should be screened and vaccinated against hepatitis B. He says the government has also given instructions that everyone tested positive should be treated immediately. The only challenge they have, says Sajo, is meeting the so many mothers who never visit hospitals and prefer to deliver at home. Only 35% of Cameroon's 25 million people visit hospitals. Others rely on traditional healers and only go to hospitals when their health becomes critical. Moki Edwin Kinzaka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Doctors at Bor Hospital say they are overwhelmed by the large number of people seeking treatment at the facility for a number of diseases resulting from widespread floods across Jonglei estates. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Hundreds of patients queued at outpatient department as they wait their turn to see a doctor. Some say they have waited several hours and lay on the ground, exhausted. Others sit on benches and under shade trees. Dr. Boli Chow, the director of Bor Hospital, says the huge number of internally displaced people in Bor town who have fled floods and insecurity in rural areas are sheltering in overcrowded places, including churches and schools' compounds, which makes them vulnerable to malaria and other diseases. Dr. Chow says medical workers at the hospital have little time to rest due to all the patients coming to Bor from across Jonglei State that are suffering from various diseases.
We're trying our best. There are so many admissions currently in the hospital, and they are mostly due to malarial cases, diarrheal diseases in children, and pneumonia. These are the most diagnosed conditions currently.
Dr. Chow says most of the children that come to the hospital are diagnosed with either malaria, typhoid, pneumonia, diarrhea, or other waterborne diseases. He says the hospital has run out of life-saving drugs to treat patients.
Most or nearly all of the patients have to buy their own medicines from outside, including those that who are admitted in the hospital facility. These cases, there is a spike in the number of malarial cases that come to the hospital on a daily basis, and this has been worsened by the massive floods in Bor town and in surrounding areas, two, massive displacement of people that has come to Bor town.
37-year-old Duna Jack's daughter, who looks weak and is lying on a bed in the ward, was diagnosed with two diseases this morning and was admitted to the hospital. Speaking in Dinka, Jack says he bought all the medicine needed to treat his daughter from a private clinic in Bor town.
The doctor has diagnosed her with malaria and typhoid, but asked me to go and buy the medicine from the private clinic. I bought all the required medicines. Yes, they are expensive, but I afforded them all. It cost me 10,000 South Sudanese pounds.
Unlike Ajak, who could afford to buy all the medicine prescribed for his daughter, 31-year-old Aluela Yuen does not have the money to buy the prescription drugs her 13-month-old daughter needs. Speaking in Dinka, Yuen says she does not know what to do.
My child fell sick last Sunday and I brought her to the hospital on Tuesday. If you are lucky and the medicine doctor prescribed for you is available, you will get them for free. But if they are not available, you have to go and buy them from the private clinics. I bought some medicine, but still some medicines I couldn't afford.
Dr. Samuel Majuri, director of Jonglei's Health Ministry, says his office is working with its partners in the health sector to assess the types of medical supplies needed in health facilities across the state, including Bor Hospital.
After doing the assessment, the medicine actually will be sent to beneficiaries. They are going to be used first in primary health care centers, and even we can put some of them even in the hospital, so that because now the hospital has been full with so many patients, so we will find a way that we can distribute this medicine.
Last week, Gabriel Denga Jack, the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Director in Jonglei State, said more than 400,000 people have been displaced by flooding and intercommunal fighting in Greater Jonglei. Ajak says a majority of the displaced people are seeking shelter in Pibor and Bor Town. He said the IDPs are in dire need of humanitarian assistance, including medical care. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Mpenzi by Kidum. We've been listening to Kidum with the song Mpenzi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for making us part of your evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Italia, okay.
kupendeza kutabaki naumia na mungelijua uogo ninao kukupoteza niyo nasema baby.